Well, it's good to see you all here this evening and all day. We've had such a good attendance at Mass on this Solemnity of the Assumption. But early this morning, about 6 o'clock, when I was driving from the house down here to open up, I was listening to the radio, hoping to catch the weather, but also to make sure the world was still existing at the time. And the announcer on WTOP said, "Today's the 50th anniversary of the opening of the Beltway." And I thought, well, I remember that day. So those of us who have lived here all our lives may well remember when the Beltway, two lanes in each direction, opened. That Sunday afternoon, my father took us for a ride around the Beltway. How exciting. And since then, of course, it's grown, expanded, toll lanes, all that kind of thing. But driving on the Beltway, we all know, you never know what's going to happen. It could be easy sailing. It could be a total jam. It could be chaos. Could be an accident. Who knows what one finds on the Beltway. And so it could be spiritually, when we think about it. Some people live their lives like they're driving on the Beltway. Each day, you never know what you're going to find. Traffic jams, setbacks, accidents, who knows what. But the challenge is for us not to simply be stuck driving around on the spiritual Beltway of life, but to keep our eyes fixed on heaven, to have Christ in the passenger's seat. And that, in a way, is the lesson that we learn from today's Solemnity of the Assumption. We give honor and praise to our Blessed Mother Mary, who is a model disciple, who shows us how to live life in this world, to live life in union with our Savior, and hopefully by God's grace, to enter into everlasting life. So we think then of our first passage from Revelation. Notice how it began. God's temple in heaven was opened, and the Ark of His covenant could be seen in the temple. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun. Well, the book of Revelation is always complicated because it's something that transcends time. Yes, it does foreshadow the fall of the temple in Jerusalem about the year 70, but it also sort of captures this eternal, everlasting, spiritual conflict that's going on. But here we have God's temple, and there's the Ark. Well, in the Jerusalem temple, the Ark of the Covenant kept the Ten Commandments, some of the manna from the Exodus event, and then also the priestly staff of Aaron. So when we look at it in the heavenly perspective, who's the real Ark of the Covenant? Mary, because she held Christ. So we remember how Mary, from the first moment of her life, had been prepared to become the mother of our Savior. She was free of all sin, even original sin, when she conceived by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, true God, became true man. So the Word of God, what fulfills all of the commandments, all the prophecies, enters into this world. The bread of life, the real manna, comes down from heaven and will feed us. The real priest comes down from heaven to offer the sacrifice for our sins. So Mary becomes this ark, this dwelling place for the Lord. But then we hear in the gospel of how she immediately makes haste to go visit cousin Elizabeth, who's elderly, now pregnant with little John the Baptist. So yes, Mary wants to help her cousin, but Mary is doing her role, her job. She's making haste to present Christ. And little John even leaps in the womb for joy, even though Jesus is still in the womb of Mary. From that point on, we see how Mary was always presenting Christ to others, whether magi, shepherds, people at the wedding feast of Cana. But it's interesting that at that wedding feast of Cana, the last recorded words of our Blessed Mother in the Gospel are, "Do whatever he tells you." Isn't that the lesson you and I need to remember? to do the will of Almighty God, to do what He tells us. And then, of course, our Blessed Mother stands at the foot of the cross with the hope of the resurrection. We'd have to believe that our Lord, after the resurrection, appeared to her. And then at Pentecost, of course, she's with the apostles when the Holy Spirit descended. So a woman who lived her whole life in the will of God, who did God's will, who made known the Savior. So what happened then at the end of her life? Well, of course, our Lord, who rose body and soul from the dead, promised us that same kind of resurrected, glorified existence. And that's what we state in the Creed. So we believe that Mary, who was living in Ephesus in modern-day Turkey, knew her time was coming. So she and St. John traveled down to Jerusalem. The other apostles were inspired to also gather there, and Mary fell into a sleep. So she passed from this life. She was buried, and St. John Damascene records that she was buried in the tomb. St. Thomas, who was late for everything, was late this time too. And 3 days later, they opened the tomb, and nothing was there. Her body was gone. And so, the assumption that what Christ had won for us by His passion, death, and resurrection, what Christ had promised us, and then, because of who Mary is, this pure, grace-filled Ark of the Covenant, was taken into heaven. What hope then we have? That we have the hope that living our life in a state of grace, of traveling along our little beltway of life with Christ truly in the passenger seat, looking to the example of Mary, by His grace, we too will gain heaven. So truly, a very happy day. It's interesting, too, that many of you probably have heard of that movie, Heaven is for Real. Maybe you saw the movie, maybe read the book. But it's written by a Protestant minister about his little son who has a near-death experience and has this sort of journey to heaven. Well, in the footnotes of the book, in the appendix, a question is asked, well, did little what's-his-name, I forget, little what's-his-name see Mary? And the answer was yes. He did see Mary. And where was she? She was always seated at the right hand of Jesus, or she was kneeling at the altar. Isn't that beautiful? So, granted, it's not revelation, but nevertheless, here we have this little testimony of where our Blessed Mother is, but also the role that she plays and the role she wants to play in our lives. So today is truly a day of great joy, a day of hope. Let us remember then, each day as we get into our little spiritual cars, to get on our little spiritual beltway of life, no matter what we find that day, let's make sure Christ is in the passenger seat. Mary, maybe in the back seat, guiding us too. But wherever it is, to know that they're with us, guiding us, and our eyes are fixed on heaven. May God bless you.